I think Mark gave away who he was talking about in this answer. So he would not name any players, but listen to Cabali this morning talk about the backstory on why it was important or necessary for the Steelers to get George Pickens the hell out of town.
I think more of the right people. Now, I'm not 100% sure who these right people are, but I'm sure we can figure out the guy that has some say-so in that locker room. We're just tired of it, done with it, over it, and that was it. I don't know how it went, if they took it to Tomlin, if they took it to Omar, but that had a big, you with that entire locker room either walking on eggshells or not saying, they're always looking at number 14 over there and what he's doing and not doing. You can't win that way.
So the right people in that locker room wanted George gone.
Oh,
and
gee,
a guy
Mark, that's a real
in that locker room with a lot of say was the one. Like, who?
It's the easiest one ever. Do you want me to say it?
Yes.
His name rhymes with Bam Layward. I don't know. Seems like a pretty good guess by me.
I mean...
What else is he... Who else are we to believe it is? Chris Boswell?
I mean, Donnie, do you think that that's just something that like Chris and I would have picked up on, or you? Or do you think every listener would have thought he was implying the same exact thing?
Yeah, I mean, and even then, it can only be like a certain group of guys.
I don't even think it can be TJ Watt, because I don't think people associate Watt with being like that ultra-strong leader in the room. I think there's one guy.
Yeah. That's how I heard it. Cam Hayward was sick and tired of George Pickens.
Who's an offensive leader in there who would have said something? Sayamalu is like the veteran, but he doesn't talk. He scares Cabali.
Yeah. So who else? Zach Frazier is not.
He's not piping up yet.
That's not his role on the team.
There's not a single, like, that was the whole point. Russell Wilson,
Broderick Jones is a Georgia
gone.
Guy, so he wouldn't say that about George. They go way back with
Broderick
each other.
I mean, Broderick did try to, like, calm him down on the field, but Broderick, I think, at least knows enough to know he hasn't done enough as a pro to be that guy. It's Cam. There's one dude.
Do you think the mystery Steeler you had lunch with feels that way? Did you get any tea from mystery Steeler today, Dom?
I feel like he probably feels the same way.
Now, we got to be very careful not to talk about Mystery Steeler.
Are we allowed to name Mystery Steeler yet?
No, 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 no.
So when are people going to find out who you had lunch with?
Well, since it's part of the new
Breaking Bread series.
I think they'll find out within the next couple of weeks.
We'll be having an episode here that airs soon, and then I believe this one will be airing next month.
So people won't find out until June, or will we... Or we'll
I think it'll be like close to the end of this month, maybe the week of Memorial Day, like that later that week, maybe even before then in the case of mine. It'll be long enough in the future for Donnie's that everyone will forget this conversation and won't automatically connect the dots back to play, you know, anonymous player X here. But
was that conversation about Pickens on camera, or was this more or less something that Donnie did on his own after the lunch was over?
After.
It was off the record. If it was on camera, I think Donnie would actually be fine with it, the player's identity.
Well, but then he wouldn't, but he still wouldn't want to say it because that would kind of spoil the...
Yes, but he would not be like, no. If like one of us accidentally slipped up and said the player's name. Also feel like it's a player who absolutely could be listening to this right now, like probably chuckling that we're playing this little game.
Mm-hmm.
Cam, though, being the guy we all automatically assume, I don't think it like reflects poorly on him. I don't think people were happy with George Pickens. They're probably like, yes, if Cam was done behind the scenes with this guy, good for him. I don't think George Pickens had many friends left, including Mike Tomlin, by the way, who I maintain, once he said George has to grow up, even every defense of George that he made after that was more about not wanting to give in to the media and get the pound of flesh out there that everyone wanted, than actually wanting to defend the player on his own merits.
But I think what Donnie has said for a long time about Tomlin's relationship with Pickens is accurate too. Before they had DK Metcalf on, he had DK Metcalf here, he had no choice. If you go ballistic on Pickens and he reacts horribly to it, then what are you stuck with? Van Jefferson is your number one wide receiver. So you really only had one way, and that was to coddle him and cajole him at all times. Hayward also had that incident down in Atlanta. Remember where they're winning a game down there and he had to go up to George on the bench?
Had to talk to him.
And get him locked in a game where they were winning. It wasn't even like panic mode should have set in. At that point.
It was they constantly had to massage his moods and his mood swings. I mean, I thought even his best, the best three-game stretch of George Pickens' career, or the best two-game stretch, and then the third was more good behavior, still made you feel like you were on eggshells, did it not? Like, waiting, is the bottom going to fall out of this? Is he going to get mad in the Baltimore game?
I thought the best stretch of George's career was when he didn't play this season, and we saw what the Steelers' offense looked without him, how much worse it got. And it made me feel like, for a little bit, that he was more irreplaceable or indispensable.
And he became more emboldened by that because he showed up late on Christmas on a day where they needed to test him out.
So I'm happy you brought that up. Here is TJ Houshmandzadeh on a show he does on Fox Radio with, listen to this cast. It's TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plexico Burress, and LeVar Arrington. Those are the three hosts on this show. And they're talking about Pickens. And Houshmandzadeh, who is a personal wide receivers coach, that's his job now. He doesn't work for a team. He works with guys almost like a quarterback's coach does.
Yeah, works on them with route trees, route running.
Yeah.
Great villain, by the way, from a time period for the Steelers. I always liked rooting against him.
I still think of him. I think, believe it or not, the moment I think about Houshmandzadeh isn't even one with the Bengals. It's that 2010 playoff game with the Ravens, Donnie, where he had that big drop late in that
Flacco
game.
Flacco put it right on him, too.
Yep.
I bet Austin would be all over that. TJ Houshmandzadeh, Donnie, from?
Oregon State.
Just checking.
Him played and Chad Johnson.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That team steamrolled Notre Dame in a bowl game.
We don't have to worry about that stuff with Donnie.
Big bad Don.
As we found out, we do with Austin.
Poor
so
Austin.
Here is who I don't have any empathy for him. I do like him personally, but he lost me today for a moment. Here is Houshmandzadeh on things he's heard about George Pickens and why the Steelers had to cut him loose.
George Pickens had stepped over and crossed the line a bit too many times, and I know people with the Steelers. He'd be late for the team plane that would be flying out to away games multiple times. He'd be late to get on the team bus, and they had enough of it. They didn't want to pay him $30+ million, and these antics are probably just going to get worse because you're not even making anywhere near that, and you're doing all this now? What you going to do when you get the money? And so they said, you know what, we're going to get rid of him. Dallas, he's your problem, but he's going to be a really good problem.
That's why I said, that's why I've maintained for a long time that he was never going to get a second contract because Art would know all that information about him and wouldn't tolerate it because the production isn't there with Pickens like it was with Antonio Brown. So they've already had to live that with AB and had to rationalize and justify, all right, this dude not only plays great, but he actually is a hard worker.
Well, and also and the AB stuff only happened after he got paid. Like, this is all happening pre-contract right there.
I'm saying,
George.
Like, you get chronically late, you get questionable effort in games, you get him kind of flying off the handle, puts the eye black thing on, tries to fight a fan at a game.
Tried to fight a couple players on the other teams in multiple
occasions. And Houshmandzadeh is exactly right. This is George Pickens at like $1 million or $2 million a year. Do that times 30 and see what he's like. So you know what's funny about this to me is that you and I feel like especially have been saying these things about George for a while, and we've had Steelers fans that have been like, no, you guys are hard on George. Shut up. George is a great player. Then the Steelers get rid of him. Now Steelers players and coaches can't wait to smear campaign the guy.
Or just say this is what it was really like.
Yeah.
You guys have no idea how bad
now,
it was.
And now a lot of fans I interact with and see pretend like they never bitched at us.
I know.
And are like, yeah, this was actually a very smart, shrewd move by the Steelers.
I don't get
mad.
Bro,
you for years have been saying that, like, we're the bad guys in this, not George.
Yeah.
Now you've come to your senses?
I laugh at that, but I don't get mad at it because I know where it comes from.
I'm not
from.
Mad at it either. I'm just saying it's unbelievably hypocritical.
They are fans first. The player is always in the right. The media is always in the wrong. I've always allowed that to just, that makes me laugh when I see it.
But I've never understood that. Like, okay, so like media getting on my nerves as a fan and certain analysts or talk show hosts doing that to me as a fan, I completely get. But it's never been wired in me as a fan. Like, let's say I just never got into sports media and all I am is a fan of these teams. There are absolutely guys on teams that drive me nuts, and I wouldn't take some player's side. I wouldn't take George Pickens, a guy who half-asses it in games.
Well, I think there's two types of fans. The ones who love every player on the team no matter what, and I think you're probably more likely to hear from that type of person on Twitter. And then the person who's what you're describing, which is how I'd put myself in there as a fan too. There have been players on championship-winning teams in this town who have enraged me beyond, like, comprehension.
Like Ben?
No. I wouldn't say that.
He didn't outrage you behind, like beyond comprehension?
On the field,
Okay.
It was comprehensible, too. Like, my rage was very direct.
So you think there's Steelers fans out there who are like, Tomlin can do no wrong, Omar can do no wrong,
yeah,
the quarterback can do no wrong,
for as much as we
wide receivers
in our,
can
in
go, do no wrong,
of sports
the
talk,
offensive
yes.
coordinator can do no
would
wrong,
you like
they're
to
all
going?
Smart. The owner's brilliant.
I think
all
there are
things.
People, even though with Tomlin that's dwindling, yes, you can still find plenty of people who are like, this guy gets a raw deal, the other fans who hate him are the ones who are wrong, because it's that's their thing, man. Like, they love the team, and they are going to be the last person off the ship to stop believing in the team.
Listen to Starkey and Pop on Wednesdays for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I'd actually like to get back into collecting things, so I owe it to myself to go up there sometime.
So the problem with collecting things for me is, like, with Alex likes to collect tumblers. You know, those, like, the fancy tumblers.
I thought she liked to collect smut.
No. She reads those books on her Kindle, so that doesn't take up much space.
Okay.
But, man, my kitchen is just all tumblers. You guys want a nice tumbler? Like, one of those $60 tumblers? She finds them on sale, and they just multiply like rabbits in my house. I gave one away to our neighbor. We gave our neighbor a ride.
And she freaked out because she knew which one you picked out and got rid of?
No, it was sitting in the car or something like that. I said to my neighbor, Jesse, I said, take this. It's yours. We have too many. And she, like, thought I was bluffing. I wasn't. And she goes, I can't believe you. Later, she just goes, it's fine if you gave one away, but not the good one. I said, they're all the good ones.
Is that something that people regularly collect?
It is. She showed me a TikTok. It's definitely like a... not a unique problem among married couples. Like,
so,
the wives love these Stanley tumblers,
you're right,
or whatever.
And we've had to do situations too where I'm like, if this one goes in, what's
to,
coming
yes,
out?
Yes, exact pony. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We have that same situation now with like her vase collection.
Does above she call our, them vases?
No. Above our refrigerator, there's two cupboards, if you will. And they're both like, you could barely shut the doors. Like, if we put another one in,
I'm empathizing with you right now to a degree you cannot possibly understand.
And so I put, she's not tall enough to get up there. So she said, can you put these three in? And I was barely able to cram three additions in. And I thought to myself, it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to let it fly.
Sure.
But the next time there's one sitting up there,
just
and she
throw
says,
one away she
put
hasn't
that
used
in
a while.
You're right.
I'm throw gonna, two away.
When she goes out of town,
you've got
she's
going to
come
guys.
Back
throw
and there's
the
going to be 15 of them gone.
Throw the Scalabrini away. Throw the end of the bench, the 12th man away. That dude, it's the exact same in my house. And here's the worst part. Like, I golf. That's my one, like, thing. We have a very small part of the house devoted to, here's where my bag stands. She bought me this.
And let me guess, she thinks it's clutter like you can't believe.
No, she doesn't. But I always point out, I'm like, listen, you bought me this nice little stand where I can put two golf bags. I have one of those little crates where all my, like, the balls, tees, and all that go. That's it. That's all my stuff.